and you see passion. What is the purpose? Whatever your hand finds to do, whatever God-given responsibilities that were within the reach of your hands, do it. And then how do you do it? You do it with all of your might. You do it with all the energy that you can muster up. And then we see Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Your purpose, whatsoever you do, every service that you render, do it heartily. Do it with passion. The Greek word there means soul. That means to put everything that you have.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Passion for Your Purpose, Conquering Excuses, Part 2, which is from our series, More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Passion for Your Purpose, Conquering Excuses, Part 2.
Fire in your soul. Jeremiah said, it's like a burning fire that shut up in my bones. And you got to have a passion for the things of God. You got to have a passion to walk in victory. Now, let me share with you some passion and purpose killers. Some passion and purpose killers. So David got this passion, right? What David is operating on is pure passion. Look at this. Let me go back. First Samuel 17 in verse 26. And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who killeth this Philistine and taketh away reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Wow. He had the passion. But we see that when you have passion, that is, some things will come along to try to rob your passion. Because the devil understands that if you get loose, oh man, that if you get loose, he knows that he's in trouble. And so really, you know, he's got a lot of us in this area right here. You know, we have allowed our passion to be killed, right? We have allowed our passion to be killed. And sometimes, you know, we can allow our passion to be killed by the temptation to pursue the cause with the wrong motive. That you pursue your purpose with the wrong motive. Look what it says here in verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up, this bad boy named Goliath? Surely to defy Israel is he come, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Remember we talked about that song last week, The Eye of the Tiger? And there was a line in there. It says, don't trade your passion for glory. Whew. Don't trade your passion for glory. David could have said, hey, I want to be one of the wealthiest men in Israel. Hey, I want to marry the king's daughter. That's my purpose. That's my objective is to be wealthy and marry the king's daughter. And what would have happened if he would have done that? He would have traded his passion for glory. And we see it happening every day. People who felt they had a call. Oh, I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble now, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. People who had a call to politics, right? They had a passion. They had a passion because they wanted to see things made right. And then they get in there and now become consumed with power and become consumed with position. And they have traded. They have traded their passion for glory. Man, don't allow your passion to be taken away from you, because now you begin to pursue the wrong motives. It will drain your passion every time. You know another thing that will drain your passion? Is people. People will take your passion away. Look in verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men. And Eliab, anger was kindled against David, and said, Why camest thou down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your naughtiness of heart, for you are come down that thou mightest see the battle. Wow. What? He threw water on his passion. Right? Man, get out of here. What are you doing down here? And you know, you might, you know, I've seen it happen in the house of God so many times, that people come in and they have a passion to do the things that God wants them to do, and then somebody says something to them. And now all of a sudden, they're on the side of the road licking their wounds, right? That you came in, you know, with a fire and with a passion to do something for the Lord, to do something in the house of the Lord, and then you started getting opposition, you started getting resistance, and all of a sudden that killed your passion, and now you're sitting down and not doing what God would have you to do. You got to be like David. David worked through this opposition. You know, I don't know what he did to his brother. David might have said, man, get out of here. Yeah. I don't know what he did. But David was able to work through the resistance that he received from his brother. And then purpose, passion killers, the temptation to trust in the flesh and not the armor of God. I love verses 38 and 39. Let's look at that. Verses 38 and 39. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of bronze on his head, also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and attempted to go, and he had not tested it. And David said to Saul, man, I can't go with this, for I have not tested it. And David took him off. David said, look, I killed a lion and a bear, and I know the stuff that I got works. He said, how can I lose with the stuff I use? Right? Now, I can't vouch for what you're giving me, Saul. And so, you know, I'm going to put this armor off, and I'm going to put on the weapons of God. And I'm going to use what God has given me. I'm going to use what I know has been tried and tested time and time again. I'm going to use what has not failed. You see, a lot of us, oh my goodness, a lot of us, we start out with passion, and then we start doing it in the flesh. And then we start working and serving in the flesh. No prayer, no study of God's word, no fellowship with the saints, that we're trying to do it with our own energy. And it's just like that wick. You ever see that wick in the candle? That when the wick in the candle burns out and it begins to burn down, and there's no fuel left, and it starts to stink because there's no fuel left. There's no fire. There's no passion. And some of us are serving. Now, I'm trying to say this diplomatically. And we stink. And the reason that we stink is because we're operating in the flesh. We're trying to do it in the power of the flesh. And the power of the flesh will fail you every time. David could have went up there with Saul's armor on and said, clunking up there, right? Helmet all down over his face. Couldn't even see Goliath. He said, I can't use this. I can't use it. So honestly, Let me just ask a question before I move on from this. Let me just ask the question. Are you serving, well, in your family, on your job, in your ministry, whatever you do, are you serving in the flesh? I mean, if you can go day after day after day after day after day and not get into the Word of God, if you can go day after day after day after day and don't fall on your knees in prayer, if you can go day after day after day after day and not call on God. See, when you have a passion for your purpose, you realize you can't do it by yourself. You realize that you need God. And you say, God, if I can't go unless you go with me. You don't trade the armor of the flesh for the armor of God. Don't let things rob your passion. What are some passion-killing excuses? What are some passion, because that's what we're dealing with, how to overcome excuses. What are some passion-killing excuses? We already looked in that first column of what passion is. But look at the excuses that David could have came up with. Goliath is an intimidator. You know, he's out there, as I said, Thomas, he's out there in the valley selling wolf tickets. He's got everybody intimidated. As a matter of fact, let me show you this. Look at 1 Samuel 17 and verse 11. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. We can use the excuse that I'm afraid. I'm intimidated. That Goliath is out there and he has me shaking in my boots. Have you used that excuse for God? Have you used that excuse to tell him this is why you can't do what you're supposed to do? Because you're afraid? And then I like this right here. Goliath has not been defeated. So what excuse do we use there? Nobody has ever done it before. I've never done this before. You know, Thomas Edison failed 14,000 times before he perfected the incandescent light. You know that Albert Einstein flunked math course after math course after math course before he was noted as a genius. These are individuals that could have said, "Hey, I've never done that before. You know, I've never done it. So I don't want to step out." Somebody could say, "Well, Goliath is too big. You know, and what's the excuse that we? It's too big. It's too big to handle. There's too much here. You know, there's too much I got to do." And we use that excuse to get out of it. Or Goliath is persistent, and that is, I don't have the energy. You know, he's just out there day after day after day. He's taunting the armies of God, and I don't have the energy to go out there after him. Man, just think. David could have used any one of these excuses. He could have used anyone to not accomplish what God intended for him to do. But praise God that David went out. And if you go to that next slide, you know, we see that he began to fulfill his purpose. How do you fuel your passion for your purpose? How do you keep that fire in your soul? How do you keep going day after day after day? You know, we know that we may get a little weak. We know that sometimes we may get lose a little energy, but in the long run, how do we keep the fuel for the passion that God has given us? First of all, you got to remember who you represent. Go to that next slide. Remember who you represent. Look at this. David never lost sight of who he was representing. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied. As all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David never forgot who he represented. And when we're out there in the middle of the battlefield, we need to realize who's with us. My grandkids, they stay with us on the weekend. And my grandson, he started getting sick last night. And I'd never seen him do this before, that he just went up and got into bed and went to sleep. You know, usually you got to tell him. And he woke up in the middle of the night and he was sick. And I left this morning and he was sick and he was throwing up and he was just in bad shape. And my wife texted me and said that one time, I mean, I guess it was just so bad. And he said, Grandma, he said, I feel like I'm getting ready to die. But you know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. Then my wife texted me and said, he's starting to feel better. Man, David knew who he represented, and he never failed to trust God. Just think about it. If you know who you're out there battling for, if you know everything that's behind you, man, there's no reason for you to not have fire and passion in your soul when you know that God is with you. You know, I quoted a couple here a couple weeks ago, but I like what Hudson Taylor said when he wrote a letter to his wife when they were down on their finances. And he wrote a letter to his wife. He was a missionary to China. And he said, all we have is 25 cents and all the promises of God. All we have is 25 cents and all the promises of God. Next, taste the thrill of victory. Taste the thrill. That, you know, if you begin to taste the thrill of victory, you get that taste in your mouth, man, that's gonna fire your passion up. Look at David, verse 46. In verse 46, he said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Now David gets a little graphic here. But look, tell me that this brother is not tasting victory. Tell me that he's not tasting victory. He said, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses to the host of the Philistines this day, to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Tell me that he wasn't tasting the victory. Man, he was tasting it. And what did that do? That fueled his passion. You know, there are those who overcome excuses live in an environment of passion for their purpose. They see victory all around them. They see their goals are somewhere that, where they can readily see them. What are your goals? What are your objectives? Do you have them somewhere that you can see them on a regular basis? That's what victors do. I remember one time when I was getting ready to go on a health fit program, right, where I was going to eat right and I was going to exercise. And I remember when I got one of my pictures. I was going to show it this morning, but I didn't want to make the brothers jealous. I got one of my pictures when I was playing football in college. And I put it up on the mirror. And every day, man, you know, I looked at that picture. I said, I'm going to get back there. You know, I'm going to get back. You know, every when I looked at that picture, it fueled my passion. I don't think I ever got back there. Right? You know, I told y'all before, right? Young people, let me give young people a word of advice. Right? Like, you all buffed and biceps and triceps and all that, take pictures. Take pictures. Because when you go try to tell somebody, they're not going to believe you. But you have a picture to show them. Right? But that's, I mean, you know, that's, you know, you put up posters on your wall that talk about your environment. In your environment, you have things that help you to look at victory. You know, Jesus Christ, that's what he did. It said, for the joy that was before him, that he endured the cross, that he suffered the pain. And then what does it say? And now he has at the right hand of the Father. What did Jesus look through when he was going through all that? He was looking at being seated once again at the right hand of the Father. You got to put victory around you. You got to live in an environment of victory. Fuel your passion. Then the last thing, and I'm done, the last thing is you got to be a passionate person. You got to be a passionate person. Now let me read this because I want to make this clear, right? You don't attract what you want. You attract what you are. If you are a passionate person, you will attract passion in all your pursuits of life. This passion is not always like David, who showed it outwardly. It can also be an inward burning desire stirred by the Holy Spirit to gently pursue prosperity in the endeavors of life. That if you are a passionate person, that you will attract passion. If you are passionate about what you believe, if that's stirred up in your soul, then you're going to attract passion to your life. David, it says here in verses 49 through 51, and David put his hand in his bag and took from there a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead that the stone might sink into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. David slew him with passion, with a rock, with a slingshot. He slew him with passion. And then the last thing that we see is that he had the victory. That passion leads a person to have the victory. So if you put up that last slide, Vince Lombardi says this: I believe that any man's finest hour — now you might not know who Vince Lombardi is, he's one of the greatest coaches that ever coached. If you go into any college locker room, this statement most likely is up there. If you go to any pro locker room, that this statement is up there. Vince Lombardi said, I believe that any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment of all that he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the battlefield victoriously. That's passion. That's putting out. At the end of the day, if you can tell the Lord, Lord, I gave it all that I had. Everything that I had within me, I gave it. And then you see the victory. That's worth it all. That's worth it all.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Conquering the Mind, the Breeding Ground for Excuses, which is from our series, More Than Conquerors. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Passion for Your Purpose, Conquering Excuses, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Passion for Your Purpose, Conquering Excuses, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Passion for Your Purpose, Conquering Excuses, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. The entire 9-part series, More Than Conquerors, is made available by request either by phone at 877-831-5060 or by visiting our website, anchoredinjesus.org. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.